We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 33 today, and it's a revelation given to Ezra Thayer and Northrop Sweet. And just some information, Ezra Thayer was a huge skeptic of the church. He was one who openly went around and campaigned against the church. He had hired Joseph Smith before, and that's part of the reason. He was like, there is no way that this guy with the education he's had could do this. And so he really came out against the church, and many people talked to him. And finally, a brother-in-law convinced him that it would not hurt him to go and hear, that there would be nothing that would be lost for going to hear Hiram speak. And so he does. He goes to hear Hiram speak, and he talks about the minute Hiram opened his mouth. I wrote some of this down. Every word touched him, and he said he just could not stop the tears, and he felt like it was piercing him to the very center. And afterwards, he went up to talk to Hiram, and Hiram opened the Book of Mormon to him. And he said he had such exquisite joy infuse him, and he knew it was truth without even reading a word of it. And then he became a huge proponent of it. And many people came and said they came and talked to his wife and said he's gone crazy. He stands to lose everything, and even risking everything. His reputation, his business, everything. He became a huge proponent of the church. And I just, as I thought of that risk of losing everything, I thought that's Lehi leaving Jerusalem. That's Amulek losing his reputation and his friends for the gospel. Ezra Thayer is a man like that. And I so love knowing that as we go into this. Now, Northrop Sweet also was given this revelation, and the thing that's really cool is it points out in the student manual, here's the same thing said to these two men. One embraces it, and one turns from it and does not, and that is Northrop Sweet, and he creates his own church, and they call it the Pure Church of Christ, which definitely dwindled and came to nothing. But I just love this illustration of they were told the same exact thing. There were two choices, and one chose one and one chose the other. And I just love that Ezra Thayer is truly like Lehi and truly like Amulek and truly like so many people we read of in the Book of Mormon who gave everything for God. Because when we covenant in the temple, we covenant to give even our very lives, if necessary, to the building of the kingdom. And so I just think here is such a great man. And I wanted to share that before we even started this revelation. So in very first one, verse 1 of 33, it says, open your ears so that you can hear the thoughts and intents of your heart. That the spirit is a thought, is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So open your ears. And I love that the Spirit does know the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It's very comforting to me to know that we are judged based on the thoughts and intents of our hearts, because we can get very caught up in what we do wrong. And I loved in conference that many people talked about this, that we need to be good at repenting. And one of the coolest quotes was from Elder Uchtdorf that said, mistakes don't define us, they refine us. And I loved that. And then President Nelson, in one of his talks, said he is hastening his work, meaning Jesus Christ, keep changing, keep growing, keep becoming more. And it was his first talk because he compared us to the Salt Lake Temple and the renovations happening there. So, I love that he talks about the Spirit discerning the thoughts and intents of our hearts, because if we are moving towards God and we love God, really, that's what matters. He knows that. Okay, then he tells them to lift up their voices with the sound of a trump. And one of the other things that's really cool about Ezra Thayer is before he even joined the church, he had a dream. And in the dream, he was told to blow a trumpet. And he said, I've never done that before. And the person told him again to blow the trumpet, and he did. And he said it made the most beautiful sound he'd ever heard. And so that was really cool to hear, because then this revelation comes and to declare as with the sound of a trump. And it really touched his heart that it was compared that way. And he felt like it really tied into his dream. Okay, and it says, to a perverse generation, a crooked and perverse generation. And what a wicked and perverse generation is they have corrupted themselves. They have warped truth, and they are not heavenly fathers. They're not Christ. And that really is what perverse means, is you're just no longer mine. They're not God's. And so he's having him declare to this world. And if you think about our world now and the statistics that we have heard, that we're now under 50% in the United States that believe in Christ, and how disheartening that is. It used to not be. And so that's what perverse is. They've lost God and they're no longer his. Okay. And then in verse 3, it talks about it is the 11th hour. And this last time I call laborers to the vineyard. And that has to do with that parable where there's laborers all day. He comes and he hires them to labor in his vineyard. And at the 11th hour, he comes and there's people who still haven't been hired. And he comes and takes them to the vineyard. And I've actually always really hated that, because it didn't seem fair that people who worked all day would be paid the same thing as those who only worked an hour. Until you realize it's talking about us who are here at the very end, this last hour, to work for the Lord and to thrust our sickle in with all our might. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's me. And that I'm promised that I will be able to live with Christ if I thrust in with all my might, like any other dispensation of time, any other group of people. And all of a sudden, that parable is so touching to me, that all during the day, anyone who comes and works for him and embraces him and follows him deserves that same reward. And I love that, because it changes the whole meaning of the parable. Okay. In verse 4, it tells us they will be few. It will be few. And that always just hurts my heart. But in conference and in previous things that we've talked about, it says that there will, he beckons to all, and that it will be many. So it's just at this time. And again, it's that whole statistic of we're less than 50%. And so we are few when compared with the numbers who have never known about the gospel. We are few, but we get to go and bring it to everyone. And again, I love that it says they err, because that's the wicked and perverse. They err. And it's because they don't understand. And so they have corrupt minds. And we've got to go find them and re-explain truth that they once embraced and knew. And so I love that. Okay, and verily I say, this is the church I have established. It's the great and marvelous work out of the wilderness. And I love that he says that, because a wilderness is out of nothing. It's out, clear out there. And so really, he's established this out of nothing, out of a whole mist of darkness at a time when the world was really lost, and Joseph Smith came and he brought it out of nothing, this wilderness. I love that. Okay, even so, and this is so good because it goes with those few, that few in verse 3, that it will be few, or is that verse 4, sorry, in verse 6, and so I will gather mine elect from the four quarters of the earth. And what makes us his elect, what makes anyone his elect, is those that believe in me and hearken to my voice. So really, again, it's that same offering to everyone. It doesn't matter where or what church or what color or whatever. It's all. He offers it to all. And you are elect if you believe in him. And so I love that. Go gather. The field is ripe. And ripe in verse 7. Reap with your might, mind, and strength. In verse 8, open your mouth and they will be filled. And I love this comparison of Nephi of old. What an awesome thing for Ezra and for Northrop to be compared to Nephi. I just think that what an honor and blessing. Just go, open your mouth and I will fill it. And again, it's that blowing that trumpet, that dream that he had. Open your mouth, spare not, and ye shall be laden with sheaves. And again, we've heard that before, and that means blessings. You will be laden with blessings on your back. Open your mouth, and the very first thing he tells them to declare is the first thing he tells always in the scriptures to declare, and that is repentance. And the reason it's repentance is all of us have need to repent. All of us have things we need to be forgiven of, and Christ is the only way. The kingdom is at hand, so just turn and look at the serpent. Just accept the gift that he's already offered, the atonement. Repent, humble yourself, and cry out as Alma the Younger did, O Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. Are we not all sinners? We are. It doesn't matter how great, how small, how much, how little. We all have need of this Savior. Doesn't matter that I'm not President Nelson. Doesn't matter that I'm not some drunk bum out on the street. He loves all and wants all. Okay, and the very second thing he says is repent and be baptized. And I loved in conference, and I believe it was Christofferson. He told the story of Mary and John, and he talked about how John was not a member, but Mary was, and they had really taught their children, and John's parents attributed it, their kids being such awesome kids, to their parenting. And John totally straightened them out and said, it is not. It's because of the truth of the gospel. And consequently, John was baptized. And Elder Christofferson talked about baptism is a narrow gate because it is done one at a time. And if you'll remember, he talked about, I don't know what that's called, a newspaper person or a person on the news who erroneously said that they would take microfilm and dunk it in the water and that's how they would do baptisms. And so he smiled and said, baptisms are done one at a time. It is a narrow gate. And that's how important we are and how important our covenants are to God, that it is done one at a time, and that he said he saves thousands by ones. And I loved that. Okay, so we gain the Holy Ghost. We're baptized and we get this incredible gift, this imperative gift that helps us stay tethered to Christ. And that is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then it says in verse 12, verily I say to you, this is my gospel. They shall have faith in me or they cannot be saved. And Dyches, and I hope I'm saying that right, also spoke in conference. And he talked about entering this cavern with his son, with the scouts. And they couldn't even see their hands in front of their faces. And he heard his son say, are you there, Dad? And he said, I'm here. And then he gave such great quotes about darkness and light. And one of those was that darkness always surrenders to light. And then he ends with, the Lord is there. Are you there, Heavenly Father? I'm there. And it was just so touching. I loved that because the Holy Ghost is imperative. It is how we keep that light, and light cleaves to light. And then it says, and upon this rock, verse 13, I will build my church, and that's Christ. And then 14, you shall remember the articles and covenants to keep them. Whoso has faith, you shall confirm into my church and give the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Book of Mormon and the scriptures are given for your instruction, that the power of the Spirit might quicken you. Wherefore, be faithful. Pray always. Have your lamps trimmed, burning with oil. And again, I come quickly. Verse 18. And I loved that Joy Jones talked about there is no such thing as accidental conversion with our children. It's intentional. And that Elder Renlund talked about, gave that example of weekly allowance, and John bought candy and Anna saved up and got a bike. That we're all offered the same thing. But what we do with that offering is what defines us. And it was Elder Mutombo who talked about complaining about praying in his family, and his father saying, in our home, we will always pray, pray, pray. And he talked about, what do you think we do now as an adult, him and his wife with his children. And there were just so many awesome conference talks. And I've always said they never give us a list of things to do. Holy cow, they did in this conference. They gave us a list of prayer, of scripture study, of attending church, of temples, of serving. And it was just such a feast to listen. And I felt like it went so well with this section. And what a touching thing to read about Ezra Thayer and his faith, and that he remained faithful in the face of risking everything. It was truly someone who put God first, and Northrop Sweet who would not. And that's the difference in the candy and the bike. And that's the difference in the offering to everyone, and how we become his elect and not a perverse generation who has erred and forgotten what we came here for. So I love this, and I hope that it adds to your testimony as it has to mine, and my desire to be one like Ezra Thayer, who will put God first and not care what anyone thinks, but will be found faithful, praying, reading the scriptures, keeping the Holy Ghost as my constant companion, so that the Lord recognizes me as his elect daughter. I so pray. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.